This morning, we're going to look in Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 17. I think a lot of the aspects of religion today focuses so much on doing for God instead of being. God, we are His workmanship. God is transforming us into a new creature, into a new nature. Okay? So understand that that should be the focal point of our walk with God. It's not the things that we're doing or the things that we're experiencing, but it's that growth that God is causing within us. See, that's the most important thing, is not what the good deeds that we're doing. There's nothing wrong with good deeds, but when good deeds are our focal point instead of us becoming the righteousness of God, you know, that's why Jesus died upon the cross, is so that we would become His righteousness. So it's about who we are. It's not about what we're doing, but who we are should dictate what we do, okay? And that should be based upon the righteousness of God. But listen to this, what happens when you have had an experience, a revelation from God through His Son, Jesus Christ? How is that supposed to affect you? You know, that's what we need to look at. It's not just a bunch of words, but it's actually creating something and making a new creature. You know, making that dog become a cat. Even though he's in the dog flesh, he is now a cat. That can only be done through Christ. We are transformed from evil. We are transformed from being children of the devil to becoming the children of God. Listen to this. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So we understand that when Jesus was baptized, that the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." At the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and at the end of that transfiguration, when he transfigured, he said, a voice out of heaven came and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So only if the Spirit of God is in us is God pleased with us. God is not pleased with anything in the flesh that we can do. He's only pleased with what He does. And that's why He gives us His Spirit and seals us as His children when we become born again. If you're not born again and you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you do not belong to Him. You still belong to Satan. He is the father of this world. He's the father of the natural flesh. He is the great deceiver. He disguises Himself as an angel of light to deceive us so that we never come to that saving knowledge of who God is. But he goes on to say, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor." Not poor people. It's not talking about how much money you got. It's talking about your spirit. We have to be poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Okay? We have to understand that we're born very prideful. We're born very arrogant. And that's what religion does. It brings on the arrogance of man, thinking that they can understand who God is. They think they can work for God. They think they can work their salvation out in the flesh. And that's what man does. He's self-preserving. So he creates his own God. He creates his own Jesus. And he creates his own gospel so that he can feel good about himself. And it's not until he stands before God, like in Matthew chapter 7, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And then you begin to spout all these things that you did for God, but not becoming a child of God. And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's why he wrote that, is so that we would know that it's not of ourselves, but it's only a gift from him, and it's only a revelation that God can give. You can't study this. You cannot master this. You cannot, if God does not give it to you by his goodness and his grace, you will not have it. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Did you know we're born captives? Did you know that we are born with sin as our master? Did you know that we are born children of wrath? See, this is why he came. It doesn't say anything here about taking you to heaven. It takes about releasing you from something. See, we are bound to this nature. Because we're born there, and the only way we can be released from it is to be born again, through that new nature that God gives us. He releases us from us so that we walk in a newness of life. We become new creatures, is what it says, so that we walk in that newness of life. So we are free, why? To do our own thing? Absolutely not. The freedom he gives us is the freedom to be to a choice now, not to be bound by sin, but now he gives us that ability to be bound to God. As long as you're bound to sin, you can't be bound to God. You can't serve two masters. Okay? Yeah, I mean, the scriptures talks about that. You got to only have one master, and that master is either sin over you, or the master is God Almighty through his Son Jesus Christ over us. And he gave recovery of sight to the blind. Did you know that you're born blind? Spiritually, you have no sight when you're born. You are born dead in your trespasses of sin. Did we not know that? That's why he wrote that, is so that we would know that we're blind. A blind person doesn't know they're blind until someone comes up and tells them, you know what, you can't see. That's not normal. Well, God wrote this and sent his Son that he would know that we're not normal. We're not spiritual beings. We're born blind to the things of God. And only he can reveal these things to us. No one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father, in whom he pleases to reveal him. No one comes to the Father that is not granted by the Father to come. See, these are not passages of scriptures that are real popular in most churches, because, again, we don't want to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, do we? We want to just basically say a prayer and do a lot of church work, and everybody goes to heaven, but nobody becomes the righteousness of God. You can do all the stuff that churches tell you to do and still not be the righteousness of God. He's the only one that can bring that to your life. He's the only one that can do that. To set free those who are oppressed. When you're in slavery, you're oppressed. That means you can't do what you freely want to do, that there is someone guiding your actions and be a dictator over you. Again, there's a freedom in Christ. There's a freedom from this flesh, this nature that God gives us. Not for our own use, but for the use of God. God did this for his own purpose. He didn't do it for us. Let's look at 1 John 5, 3 through 5. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Okay, so we know that. We've talked about that in the past. You can't say that you love God and you don't keep his commandments. Keeping the commandments has nothing to do with salvation. You're not saved because you keep the commandments. You keep the commandments because you're saved, because you become a child of God. And you can't say that you love God and don't have the commandments in your life. And what the amazing thing is, it says that the commandments of God are not burdensome. You see, trying not to lie is a burden to us. That's how we're born. We lie naturally. It's self-preservation. You know, we do the things that we do because that's how we were born. And the iniquities and the sin and the immorality in our life, the thievery, the killing, the murdering, and all that stuff that we are, the hatred, the bitterness, the jealousy, all of that that's in us is not a burden to us. Did you know that none of us are burdened by those things? But when you try to not do those things, they become a burden. Did you know that? If I'm living my life in the flesh, trying to not lie and steal and all those things, then becomes a burden because I'm going against my nature. Anytime you go against your nature, it becomes a burden in your life. That's why you have to be born again. And you have to be given this new nature. So therefore, the commandments of God are no longer a burden. Okay? Now, there's a battle in the flesh, but the battle is not a burden. A burden is something that you dread. A burden is something that's heavy. Huh? Jesus says, my yoke is light. Okay? It's easy when we give it to him and allow him to carry that burden for us. And the burden is sin, folks. The burden we have in our lives that we're born with is sin. And this is why he writes us the way he writes it, so that we understand that, to give ourselves sight, spiritual sight and insight of who we are and who God is. But his commandments should not be a burdensome to us. The reason they're a burden is because a lot of times we're trying to work this out in the flesh and you can't. There's no way to please God in the flesh. It's impossible. You can't do it. You must abide in him. You must abide in the Spirit. And you must use the power of the Spirit of God to walk in this life as a child of God. He does not leave you alone. He gave you the power to be able to do something that's impossible for mankind, and that is to walk in the righteousness of God. We can't do it on our own. It's impossible. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Wow. You see, the purpose of salvation is that we overcome the world. See, for God so loved the world, okay, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So it's about the perishing, okay? It's about God's love so that we don't perish. And those that are God's overcomes this world. This world is to drag you down. Religion is to drag you down. Religion is to confuse you. The world is to confuse you. God wrote his word so that you, as a child of God, would not have to be confused. It's your fault if you're confused. Okay? Because he wrote it very plainly and said, I've given you the Spirit of God to lead you through all truth. So you can't, if you leave the Spirit behind and try to open up the Scriptures, you're not gonna find your way. It has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that allows you to be able to see. He is the one that convicts the world of their sin. He's the one and only one that has the ability and the authority to convict someone of their sin, not you. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. See, that's what this, and who's convicting me of that? The Holy Spirit. You see, this is a true relationship. A spiritual relationship with God is not one that's a fantasy that we keep telling ourselves that things are going to be okay. Things are not okay. When God condemned us, things were not okay. Okay? And we keep telling ourselves, and we live in these lies, and we keep telling ourselves that things are okay. Well, they're not. Eternity lasts a whole lot longer than this world, and the time that you live on this world. We are just dust. Okay? That's all we are. What gives us any value is the fact that we were created in the image of holy God. And that's what gives us our value, you see. And we have to understand that it's our faith. I mean, the assurance of things, it's not like, oh, well, I hope this happens. It's knowing that it's going to happen and the hope that it's about to happen. It's an assurance that the Spirit of God gives you and then convicting you of those. I don't see these things, but I know they're true. How do I know they're true? Because through His Word, He showed me they're true. Through the things that have happened in my life, the tribulations, the trials that happened, that proves us. See, if you're, like we talked it last week, if you're not tested, you never know who you are. You have to be tested. You have to be tested. Okay? And it's not a matter of passing the test. It's a matter of knowing what that test is for. It's so that God shows you where you're at and who you are so that you come full circle and praise and glorify Him that this is a gift given to you by Him and you didn't merit it in any form or fashion. Now, you're to work it out. Okay? You're to work it out. He says we're to work it out with fear and trembling, this thing that He's given us. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So when you believe in something, what does that make you do? It alters your life, doesn't it? It alters your life. It's amazing when you see what people believe in and how they just literally their whole life focus around what they believe. And so we have so many people that say they believe in Jesus Christ, but that belief never leads to the born-again experience. And that's the sad part of this, is that we've allowed religion to come in and tell people that if you just believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. And that's not written in Scripture. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. It says that the demons believe and they shudder and they're not going to heaven. So it's this belief that you have that leads you to a discipleship. So I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe Jesus Christ and what He says. I'm going to read the Scriptures and His teaching and I'm going to try to apply that to my life. What's going to happen is you're going to find out that you can't apply it to your life because it's going to be a burden, because it goes against your nature. He wrote this so that you'd know that your nature is contrary to His nature. And that without being born again, the Word of God can't become not a burden. The reason it's not a burden is because you've been a child of God and now you have the same Spirit of God. So now the thoughts, the mind, the actions will be what God wants in your life, not what you want. You see, religion says I can take God and I can take the world and I can mix them together and somehow they come out looking good. But Scripture defeats that when it says that God's all God by Himself and we can't mix evil and good, okay? You're either good because God has made you good or you're evil, okay? And from the same tree doesn't come good fruit and bad fruit, okay? If you're a good tree, then good fruit comes from there. If you're a bad tree, then bad fruit will come from there, okay? Is what He tells us. But believing in Jesus Christ leads to discipleship. You see, those folks that followed Jesus early in time and were baptized by John the Baptist, they went through a discipleship. They were baptized with water. They were showing the world. They came in and they even dressed in white robes to show that, hey man, there's going to be a newness here in my life. I'm going to walk differently than what I used to walk. I've confessed my sins before God and I'm going to be different. So they became disciples of Christ. They began to look at His teaching. They began to apply their teachings to their life and some of them failed. Some of them said, this guy's a madman. When Jesus began to teach them spiritual thoughts and spiritual things about who God was, they said He was nuts, that He was crazy, that He was a madman. You've got to eat my flesh. You've got to drink my blood. And it says in scriptures that many of his disciples followed him no longer, which is biblical proof that discipleship is not salvation, but it's a path to salvation. And if you endure and you're taught by God, then you can become a child of God. Let's get Galatians 5. Listen to what this says. It says, "For we were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." See, the freedom is that we get to become servants. See, there are so many people that join churches because they want to be served. But if you've been in church all your life and you're still being served and you haven't become a servant, then you better question that relationship that you have. Maturity always leads to servanthood. You're willing to serve others instead of you having to be served. We got to make sure we understand that. And if we're not growing, you know, we take an opportunity of the flesh. We think our freedom is so that we can do what we want. But no, this freedom was so that you could be bound to God to become a servant, to serve one another, and to love one another in an agape way. You know, if you look at most churches, you got, there's certain churches that have, you know, the high influential people that go to it, you know, and they got their own sect there, I guess. And then you've got the poor people over here, and you got the black people over here, and you got the Hispanics over here, and you got, you know, and we divide Jesus Christ by culture and race and all kinds of things. And he's not to be divided. Jesus himself said that a kingdom that's divided against itself will fall. And that's why these denominations are dividing Christ. And this is not what this is about. So we have to understand that. We're called to freedom, but we're using that flesh to do what we want to do. Okay, Christ says, okay, here I am. You believe in me. And then we take and turn around what it means to believe in Christ, and we allow people to believe in Christ and remain practicing sin. How can someone be in Christ and still practice sin? When the scripture says the opposite of that. Jesus, I am only your friend, he said, if you do what I tell you to. You don't get to do your own thing. We were never created to do our own thing. And we were never created to determine what God says. God will tell us what he says. God will command us what we are to do. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, he didn't say love your neighbor. He said love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because we're selfish. Okay? We're selfish. You know, and we've talked about this before. Christian people always empty out the garbage in their closets and give to the poor people, and they go buy themselves new stuff. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself, okay? You keep your garbage and go buy the new stuff for the people. And you buy them what you would buy yourself. You don't buy them cheap stuff from Walmart, okay? If you don't buy from Walmart, you don't buy them stuff from Walmart, okay? I mean, this is the hypocrisy that we have in today's world and churches and stuff. It's sad, isn't it? We're to love others as we love ourselves. And that only can happen if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. So the first and the greatest commandment has to be in place first before you can even begin to do this commandment. And then that's why we think we're doing good to people when we're not doing to them as we would do for ourselves. If I buy you a lawnmower and you need a lawnmower, it's going to be one with a key start, and you just follow behind it because it's got wheels on it, and you push, and you don't have to push it. Why would I buy you that lawnmower? Because that's why I bought for myself. In my new little house, I get out there, I turn the key, and boop. So if you need a lawnmower, you come to me, and I'll buy you a lawnmower, just like the one I bought. That's what you're supposed to do, okay? Huh? You're supposed to love others as you love yourself, okay? But we make those concessions and say, oh, well, they're poor. Don't worry about it. I remember one time we bought some stuff. It's amazing, too. This is the other side of the coin. When people are really in need, they appreciate whatever you give for them. But we've bought stuff for folks here at this church before, and the kids looked at it and said, I don't want that garbage. So that's the other side of that coin, okay? The people that need help will truly appreciate what you give them. But your responsibility is to love others as you love yourself. The hardest part of this is the spiritual part of that. We can't allow people to remain in sin. If you are the light of this world, and if you're an ambassador for Christ, and you're the spokesman for Christ, and he's given you this heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, then you have a responsibility to share biblical spiritual truth to those that are living in sin when they ask you. Churches were not made to accommodate the world. The church is supposed to be pure. The church is supposed to be holy. Yes, you can come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. And see, that's the fallacy of our modern day religion, is telling people they can stay where they're at. Well, that's not loving them as I love myself, because once I found out what I was, and once he revealed what I was, then I have that responsibility to share that truth with others. You cannot remain as you come to Christ. Everyone's welcome to come to Christ, but you cannot remain in that same state of nature. You have to get a new nature, and only God can give you that new nature. That is a miraculous event in your life. It's not just something that you religiously or have a good feeling about, but it's an actual miraculous event that happens in your life. He goes on to say, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. What has religion done? We got denominations fighting against denominations. We got the Methodist Church splitting over a simple theological point. God created the male and he created the female. For this reason, a male will leave his family and cleave to his wife. Those in an order that God had set forth, and we have churches that are splitting over that basic principle that if you're born a male, you're a male. If you're born a female, you're born a female. There are no transgenders. It's exactly how God said it and put it into place. And you may come that way, but you cannot leave that way. You cannot stay that way. Fornication is a relationship with a woman outside of marriage. That is a sin. The world will tell you that's the way you do it now. It used to be you kissed on a first date, and now you sleep on a first date with each other. That's fornication. You can come as a fornicator, but you can't stay a fornicator. You steal work from time from work. You're a thief. You take things that aren't yours. You tell half-truths. You're a liar. And you're a thief. You can come as a liar and a thief, but you cannot stay a liar and a thief. At some point in your life, there has to be a battle to get those out of your life. Okay? He regenerates us. He gives us a new life and a new nature. If you're to become the righteousness of God, how can you stay as God found you? Because you did not find him. No one finds God unless God allows you to find him. And that's plainly written in Scripture. But you'll never hear that anywhere else because it's not popular. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. If you want to read a little bit further, the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. You cannot reconcile the flesh to a holy God. It's impossible. And that's what a lot of religion does. It comes in and tries to bring the two together and it causes compromises. God does not compromise with us. God does not work out deals with us. God has written very plainly in his word, thus saith the Lord, and you are to come to his word, not you taking his word and doing what we're doing to it nowadays and changing it to what we want and do what we please. Only Satan wins when we argue God's word. Only Satan wins when we split up churches based upon biblical principles that are clear. I left a church one time because they told me that we couldn't stand on the word of God because it was too offensive. That it kept people from coming in and taking part. Do you understand that this is very exclusive, but it's all inclusive? It's one of those paradoxes. He included us all. But he excludes everyone that's not his child. And if you're not born again, you're not his child. The scriptures say if the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit does not live within you, then you are not a child of God. And that's written very clearly. We can no longer allow man to dictate what God's word says. You have to sit by yourself. Forget what your instructors told you. Forget what your teachers tell you. Forget what your pastors have told you. And sit with God and read the whole thing. You gotta read it all. And you can't take it out of context. You gotta read by what its purpose was intended. He teaches in biblical principles. And we have to learn those biblical principles and apply those biblical principles to our lives. To understand this. And only God can give us that understanding.